Have you ever wondered who he really is? Some call him a prophet, miracle worker, and a good man. Others are shouting fake, fiction, and irrelevant. This man who spoke himself as a friend of sinners, one who shares his tears and brings peace to everyone, who proclaims freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and set the oppressed free. Was he a liar or a hypocrite, or truly God with us? Was he a reckless fool, or truly the Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Light of the World? This man who claimed to be the Son of God, both fully human and fully divine, the beginning and the end. The Bible tells us that he is the image of God, the Savior, and that his love conquers all fear, terror, violence, and evil. Have you ever asked yourself if this Jesus is relevant for your life? If his death and resurrection should mean anything to you at all? It's not too late for you to start out on a journey. There's no other name whereby men and women find their salvation, purpose, and eternal peace. Jesus.
Tonight or today, I would love to speak about the topic free from religion. Free from religion. And let's start right from the beginning with the Passion of Christ movie. You see a sequence when Jesus took the cross and he fell down. Before you see the Passion of Christ, this is a little bit a very, very touchy clip because you see Jesus Christ in a very bloody way, but this is just a fact in the life of Christ. Let's see the Passion of Christ just for 2 minutes. The moment when Jesus fell down with the crosses was a very, very special moment. The God has a way to call in new disciples. And let's go into the Bible in Mark chapter 15, verse 21 and 22, in the context when Jesus fell down with the cross. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country. And they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha. Here you see the name Rufus and Alexander. You see, maybe a little bit later, you see in the message, Rufus, that couple, the whole family, they played a very important role in the kingdom of God. And here you see also the word, he was forced. Forced means he didn't say, yes, God, I want to carry the cross. Because sometimes God calls in people and you're facing a situation where you feel forced by God. Have you ever had a moment like that? You were in the worship time or in a small group, you're listening to God, all of a sudden God is challenging you to do something you don't like. I called forced in God, right? And Simon Cyrene, he was forced to carry the cross. Some people are getting followers of Christ because God is forcing you. Of course, not everybody. For example, Simon or Peter in the Bible, he was called by God. He was fishing. And God is saying to Peter, you will be a fisher of men. And Peter type is more like this, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. Here are some people say, pick me, I don't wait, pick me, pick me, pick me. Who is a pick me guy? Only one, the rest, you're so quiet. I thought you were international. Oh my gosh, you're worse than Swiss people. Oh my goodness, what's going on? Pick me, pick me, yeah, two. Oh, I know, there's progress. Another guy, Thomas, for example, Thomas in the Bible, he was a little bit a doubter. He said, okay, I don't believe if Jesus is risen from the dead, I want to see the pierced hand. And Peter types people say, okay, I just wait, you see this, I just wait. If Jesus is really real, then I need some evidence. And here's the cool thing. God called Simon Peter. He called in Thomas. He called in Simon from Cyrene. God has a way to call you and me into the kingdom of God. When you teach, for example, management about change management, they're saying there are different people, and for every group, you need a different approach how to win those people into the change process. They say 2% of every change, there are innovators, people there innovating things, only 2%. They're saying 10% are pioneers. Say God, thank you that only 10%, because if it will be more than 10%, the world will be in big chaos. They say 36% are quick becoming excited. That means Peter type. Pick me, pick me. Only 36%. And for all the Swiss people, here's the good news. 44%, and even the Germans and the Austrians and everybody from the world, who wait patiently, like Thomas, show me your peace hand, and then I will believe it. 44%. And unfortunately and gladly, 8% eternal naysayers. If you are a naysayer, God bless you. Whatever you change, you will always say nay. And here's the cool thing. If you, Simon from Kyrene, if you're Peter, if you're Thomas, or whatever, God has a way to win you over into the kingdom of God. But Simon from Kyrene, he was forced. And I want to explain you the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion, people will say, oh, I am forced to carry the cross. I must do something for God. I must be the salt. I must be the light of this world. I must to be a king. I must to be a prophet. I must to be a priest. I must do something for God. This is religion. You feel forced to carry the cross. Christianity, it's a total different picture. Christianity means, yeah, it's done. Yeah, I want, I don't must, I won't carry the cross. I want to be the salt. I want to be the light. Yes, Jesus done everything for me, and I will, and I want, and bring the kingdom of God to everyone. I want to be a king. I want to be a prophet. I want to be a priest. I want to enlarge in the kingdom of God. Religion says, I have to do something, I must. But Christianity means, it's done. I want. Are you a must or are you a want? Want means, yeah, I'm so happy to carry the cross. And here is a very important lesson, and I want to bring up a picture of a sheep. Because here's the thing, sometimes, not often, God is challenging you and me to the Holy Spirit to do things, right? And God gave me a picture many, many years ago about a sheep. A sheep is a very, very cool, flipping, dangerous animal. No. A sheep, for example, here's a picture of a sheep. Yeah, a sheep. You see this? A sheep is simple. A sheep sees meadow, sees water, and a sheep says, whoa, this is the best place on planet Earth. Here is water, here is food, and a sheep will never go away from that place. The Bible says a sheep is blind, is dumb, blind and dumb, that's a sheep. And a shepherd knows if a sheep just stays, look what a sheep does. With the feet, it starts to demolish the nation, the land. And that's the second thing, because it eats so much, it drinks so much, it has to go to the toilet. But where is the toilet? Just think for a moment in nature. It just poops there, and the poops, it's so strong, it's the best fertilizer. But when it poops all the time in the same ground, all the time, it will kill, it will poison the piece of land, even the land of blessing. Have you ever thought when we're facing a moment, God, I want to be here forever. And every shepherd and even God knows, sheep, let's move on. You know what the sheep does?
Meh, no, I want to stay. I want to drink. I want to eat. It's so nice. It's so comfortable.
Then comes the shepherd. He has a stick and a rod in the hand. You know why? He goes with the stick on the back of the sheep and pushes the sheep away. And every sheep is saying,
no, no, I want to stay.
But no shepherd will give up. Because every shepherd knows there is a summer and a fall meadow on the mountains, and there will be the best grass, the best food forever. You know why? The shepherd pushes the sheep into the mountain, and a sheep poops here, poops here, poops all over. It's the best fertilizer, but all over. And a year later, the mountains and the grass is bigger and stronger and more fresh than ever. Sometimes God is forcing, I don't want to use that word, but in the context of Simon Kyrene, sometimes the Holy Spirit is forcing you. And please don't say, I must. Say, thank you, God. You're pushing me into the blessing zone. There is a blessing zone in your life. There is a blessing zone, and God has promised He pushes you and me into the blessing zone. I want to teach you about three areas you can get religious, I must, or I want. Three learnings that God spoke to me. We are kings, priests, and prophets. First, we are kings. We give the very best to God. You know, often when you go to church, you hear the slogans, give God the tithes, give God 10%. When you hear this with religion ears, you think, oh yeah, when you are Christians, I must give God money, otherwise the kingdom of God has a problem. It's not that God is the problem, because God belongs anyhow, everything. It's more an attitude, and I want to read to you in Malachi chapter 1, 11 and 13, an amazing Bible verse. I can't believe it. Those dudes have done that. But my name is honored by people of other nations from morning till night. All around the world, they offer sweet incest and pouring offerings in honor of my name. For my name is great, great among the nations, says the Lord of heaven's army. But you dishonor my name with your actions. You bring contemptible food. You are saying it's all right to defile the Lord's table. Think of it. Animals that are stolen and crippled and sick are being presented as offerings. Should accept from you such offerings as these, as the Lord? Just think for a moment. That's not our Bible verse, right? We will never do that. Here is a sheep on the stage. I'm so sorry. Has only three legs. You see, leg number four, it's stolen or falling away. Fallen away. I want to ask you a question. Is this a sheep? Yes or no? Yes, good students. Even if the sheep has only three legs, it's still a sheep. But this is not the best sheep I have. And God is saying, you think this is a win-win situation. You get rid of the old sheep, you cannot sell it anymore. It's not even fast anymore. You think if I get rid of that, I win. And God, it's only an offering. You can be pleased because it's an offering. It's still sheep, right? There is a sheep, but the quality, it's different. The heart, it's different. Look, here's the thing, a cake. We love cakes, right? Everybody loves cake around the planet Earth. This is a cake. If you give God 10%, the first part of the 10%, it's the first piece of cake. It's the best, it's delicious, it's fresh, it's new, right? It's 10%. But if you give God, when the 90% is eaten already, the next one. This is the same amount, friends. It's still 10%. Do you understand what I mean? It's still 10%. But the heart behind that, it's not the same. And I always thought, it doesn't matter if I tithe in the 10th in the month or the 15th, as long as I tithe or as long as I give to God. And God said, no. This is a hard attitude. If you really believe that the kingdom of God is the most important thing, behave as a king. Give God the very first of everything as the best you have. It's not, in first of all, because of God. It's your identity and your character. That means when you're inviting your friends, cook the best meal, not because of your friends, because of you. I say to these people, open the best bottle of wine, not because of your friends, because of you. Because it's the attitude, the best is only good enough for God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible is saying, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You don't have to understand theology, but you have to understand grammar. If you put the kingdom of God first, everything else it will be given to you. Can I hear an amen? Everything God sees, God knows, God feels, he knows better what we need. And say, God, if I put God first place, this is not religion, this is a want, and I will put God first. If I put God first, he will care for me. It's not religious. I have to give. You don't have to give anything, but then is Matthew 6:33 not the Bible verse for you? We're always quoting the Bible verse without reading the verse before. It's for those that give. It's that promise. For those that are not giving, a lot of promises, they're not for you. Have you ever thought about it? It's always connected with something. My wife, she recorded an amazing clip because she realized in some areas she's not giving the very best to God and not even for herself. Here is my beautiful, amazing, outstanding, on fire, blonde, original lady on the screen.
Years ago already, I bought some bike bags because we planned to do bike vacation with our families. I bought white ones and red ones for each family member one, but I stored it in the cellar for the better times. But the better times for bike vacation never came, and then I started to use them. The white ones were the beautiful ones and I liked them more, but for some reason I used the red ones. All of a sudden, when I was on a prayer walk, I had the impression that Jesus makes these bike bags a topic in my life. And it was as if asking, why do you use the red ones? Because the white ones you like more. And I said, I have no idea. The white ones you have to spare for better times. You cannot use because they are beautiful. And I am afraid that they turn dirty or they break or whatever. I have just to spare them. But then all of a sudden I realized the white ones fit much better to my bike. I show you. Because my bike is brown and white, and the white ones fit much better to my bike than the red ones. And I started to use the white ones, but it costed me a lot to get rid of the red ones because it was kind of a mindset that I cannot use what is beautiful and just use what is less beautiful. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. Yeah, come on, let's give a hand. It's amazing. This is a revelation. Religion is a mindset, dear friends. I must. But Christianity means I want. I want to give, and I will give God the very, very best. Point number two, we are priests. We connect people with God. We connect people with God. Often you hear in the church, you have to win people for Christ. You have to testimony about Christ. And often people feel really forced. You feel really under pressure. But when you understand what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you, the forgiveness, salvation, healing, restoration, all those things, I cannot be quiet. Let's see in the story of Jesus Christ, there were the Roman commander, and he saw the cross and he saw what's going on. And let's hear the story from the Roman commander on the big screen.
Roman centurion, I was instructed to take Jesus to the cross. But from the beginning, this was not a routine task. Never before had so many people followed us to Golgotha. And the strange thing about this was that some of them seemed to detest him and others were crying bitter tears. My man did the job. At hour 9, he was hanging. You know, Pilate had given us the order to be fast, so that he would be under the ground before the beginning of Jewish festivities that evening. Yeah, we did that. And above him, we put up a sign saying why he was sentenced. The King of the Jews. Strange reason. We just wrote down what was ordered from above. It was obvious that an innocent man was dying here. And between us, I think Pilate was too big a coward to stand up against the Pharisees. They wanted to get rid of him because he claimed to be the Son of God. Now, next to him, two criminals were hanging. I heard them speaking with Jesus. One of them laughed at him, and the other asked him to think of him. Jesus turned around and said, "You will be with me in paradise today." Then Jesus looked down at the people below the cross. Us. Me. And he whispered with diminishing strength, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And then this was one of these moments, you know, everything was quiet and I could no longer turn my eyes away from him. A little later, I heard him whisper with his last breath, "It is finished." Then he let his head fall. This man was truly the Son of God.
What I like about that story, he saw what Jesus has done on the cross. And here's my point. Everyone in this room, you received forgiveness, a brand new start in your life. And it's impossible. We cannot be quiet. Often we think you are forced to testify Jesus. I must bring Jesus into the world. But here's the thing, I cannot be quiet. It's impossible. When Jesus heals you, you cannot say to your neighbor, "Oh, you're sick?
It's your problem."
You know the solution. You can pray for them. You can ask God for a miracle. That means you will be a blessing for those people. And if you feel sometimes disconnected with God, here's a very easy thing to do. If you're testifying Jesus to your friends, you will go home and your heart is beating, you're pumped with Jesus Christ. All the time, when I feel disconnected, when I share the gospel to people, I'm coming home so pumped, so on fire for God. What would happen if you pray 7 days for seven people, 7 minutes a day? What would happen if we pray the next week to Easter, 7 days for seven people, for 7 minutes, that God will bring those people back to the kingdom of God? I said in the beginning, Simon von Kyrene, he had an amazing family. In Romans chapter 16, verse 13, Paul is saying, and please watch, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me." Paul saying, Rufus, the whole Simon Kyrene family became followers of God, and they had an important role in the kingdom of God. I liked it. The story starts, Simon was forced to carry the cross, and here you can read, he was pumped to be in the kingdom of God. The last point is, we are prophets, we bring God's heaven onto earth. We are prophets, we bring God's heaven onto earth. Let's start with one simple idea. When we come to church, we cannot see God, right? God is presence, but you cannot see God. You can see me, but you cannot see God right now. But you can feel and sense and know there is a God. But here's the thing, when Justin Bieber, a very famous dude, comes to Europe, teenagers go crazy. It is crazy. Then, for example, Selena Gomez, beautiful lady, comes to Europe. People go crazy. Selena Gomez. Yeah. Then Donald Trump came to Switzerland. He came, he saw, and he won. This was the slogan that was, Donald Trump came, he saw, and he won. The next one, when the Chinese president came about 2 years ago to Switzerland, whole Valley Salem was shot, nobody, I could not drive my car anymore. The guy from China is coming. Crazy, because Chinese people look all the same for me. Just kidding. I try to wake you up. You know, when famous people go crazy, right? But when people coming to the church and we say, let's come together, let's meet God, the God who invented everything, the God who knows everything, can do everything, often people coming to church and they're worshiping God like this. Wow, an amazing worship band. Wow, an amazing color of this lady. It's a blonde lady who sings. She's here first time. Have you ever seen Swiss people worshiping? I don't speak about the international. When we come together, you cannot worship quiet. You cannot say to me, we treat the flipping Bieber better than God. But this is often what we do. We're coming to church and we don't have a revelation. God gave me, I don't put my finger on you, I put the finger right now to me. I want to tell you a story why I come up with this point. 3 years ago, God teach me. We were on a worship tour in Romania. We drove maybe 15 hours. Actually, I flew in, but the band, they drove in. And I was super tired. I was preaching all over the planet. And I was in the backstage, and I thought, I will stay there. The worship band is singing worship because I know the songs. I sing these songs maybe 100 times in a week, you know. And then I'm coming on the stage. I preach to an altar call. Then I sing a song and going back to the backstage and be ready for the people. Then God spoke to me and said, what in the world are you thinking? I said, yeah, I'm thinking just normal. What are you thinking? So what do you mean, God? You cannot fly into Romania. It's worship. It's never about you. Leo, if you're not standing in the front row, if you're not lifting up your hands and you have the knowledge, God is in the room, God is here, and you're lifting your hands not only for you, because here may be people right and left of you, they are sick, they have cancer, they're in the process of dying, and you're sitting in the backstage and you're thinking, it's just songs. It's just an atmosphere. It's just an LED wall. It's just some light. You don't understand. When people are coming together, two or three people in my name, in the house of God, when they're lifting up their hands, signs and miracles take place. You can bring heaven down. You can bring heaven down. There are moments when you are weak, you have to be strong for those people. And God spoke to me, and from 3 years ago now, whenever I travel around the globe, I mean, in every celebration, if I preach five times, I'm standing there, I'm jumping, I worship, it's exercise, first of all. Then I say, God, I bring down the glory of God to people. And here's an amazing Bible verse in Acts chapter 16, 25 and 26. And this is an amazing verse. Please watch and learn. Watch and learn. Praise and worship, it's not just cool songs. It's not just the band or lights or whatever. When you praise God, you bring down heaven. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, here's the word, suddenly, when you praise God, when you sing to God, suddenly a person gets healed. Suddenly a person gets the revelation. Suddenly a marriage is restored. Suddenly your joy comes back. Suddenly you see clear what God is calling in your life. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. When we worship God, when we praise God, there are people here you're addicted. Some people you have struggles in your life, obstacles in your life. I don't know what is the story. But when we come together and we're lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, it's a different in the unseen world and in the seen world. I don't want to force you to lift up your hands. Because Swiss people say, I don't feel. I never ask you about your feelings. Bringing down heaven has nothing to do with your feelings. Do you think Jesus died on the cross? Oh, I feel dying right now. Oh, it's cool. Sorry. It's not feeling. It's a calling. It's a position. I'm not forced to carry the cross. I want to be, and I will be a king, and I will be a prophet, and I will be a priest for those people, like connecting people with the kingdom of God.
Sometimes I wonder, when everything fails and fades away, what does remain?
Why do we come to this place from near and far? Because at the end of the day, there's nothing else that remains.
What would it look like to face the consequences of something so radical? What would it actually look like to follow Jesus?
Friendships may fail, heroes may fail, eventually riches turn worthless.
He stirs a thirst for truth, compassion, and love. Nothing that this earth could ever quench.
What is it that we can truly build our lives and hope on? There is one thing and one thing only when it's all said and done. He alone is our solid rock, our center, and our foundation.